Please join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to hear your word tonight, and to hear your commandments tonight. For Lord, you gave us life, you regenerated us, and you tell us how to live, how to have that eternal life, how to prosper in God, and how to be happy with you and with your people, and how to please you. So we pray, O God, that you would be with us tonight and that you would bless our time of worship and hearing of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as Dr. Wasserman said, we've been preaching through the commandments. I'm going to speak about the fifth commandment tonight and for a couple of weeks in the future. So tonight I'm largely going to give an overview of the fifth commandment. And then in the following weeks, we'll talk about application to parents and application to children. And to set it in context, these commandments are important. All of God's commandments are important. They were given directly by God to Moses to tell his people how they should live. And they are just as applicable to us today as they were so long ago. And they are commandments. They are mandatory. They are not. They are commandments to all people. They are especially commandments to God's people. But they reflect universal truths for how God wants all people to live. And so they are mandatory for all people. They're also universal, as I just said. They cover all people, whether they are Christians or not. But they are especially applicable to Christians. We who have confessed the name of Christ must follow these basic commands or seriously doubt our confession. So they are mandatory. They are universal. They are comprehensive. They cover, at a general level, all of our decisions and all circumstances. So even though they're specific, they are also very general in that they cover everything that could happen. They are broad in application. And fourth, they are good for man and mankind. In other words, they are good for the individual and they are good for the community. To the degree that people and nations follow them, they will prosper. And the Ten Commandments are one of the most significant developments in the history of the world. Israel was an obscure little nation, perhaps, at that time. But the Ten Commandments and the degree to which we have followed them, especially in Western civilization, have brought about good outcomes for the entire world. So it's really a significant development in the history of the world that God gave these commands, simple commands that are easy to understand and which we've got to follow. And by doing so, we'll be blessed. And so they lead to good outcomes for each individual person, but they also lead to good outcomes for the community collectively. And then lastly, as I've indicated, they're easy to understand. The Ten Commandments are simple enough for children to memorize, and yet they are broad enough to cover all circumstances. So you see the wisdom of God in these Ten Commandments. So tonight we're going to talk about the fifth commandment. So we'll start by reading out the fifth commandment from the Old Testament, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So easy to understand. You must honor your father and mother, and you will have long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And that is a reference also to eternal life. Deuteronomy 5:16 contains a parallel command: honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So same idea, but with the added express promise that it will go well with you. You won't just be in the land for a long time, but it will go well with you. And this is a consistent command from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You see it throughout the Bible, but Ephesians 6:1-3 repeats this command. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you, and so on and so forth. So this commandment did not disappear with the New Testament or with Christ's resurrection. No, that commandment continues on for us today. And this similar theme is repeated throughout the whole Bible. So I'm going to give you a list of verses. Don't try to write them down. First of all, talk real fast. Second of all, the point is not for you to get every one of these down, but to listen to how many different times in the Bible, and this is probably not even a comprehensive list, but to listen how many times and throughout the whole Bible this idea is touched upon or looked at from a different perspective. So Leviticus 19:3, Deuteronomy 27:16, Colossians 3:20, Proverbs 23:22, Proverbs 22:6, 1 Timothy 5:4, Proverbs 17:21, Proverbs 17:25, Deuteronomy 20:21, 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 and 2, Exodus 21:15 through 17, Deuteronomy 5:9 and 10, Proverbs 30:17, and as I've indicated, many others. So there's lots of times, and it's all throughout all parts of the Bible that God is speaking about honor your father and your mother. So I want to touch on some specific verses. I'll read these ones slower. We already read from Exodus 20:12 and Deuteronomy 5:16 and Ephesians 6. But listen to Leviticus 19:3. Each of you must respect his mother and father and must observe the Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So we should get from this not only that God is saying the same thing again, but listen to that. God puts this commandment in this verse on equal par with observing the Sabbath, with worshiping God. So it's a serious command. It's a high command. Respecting your father and mother is on par with worshiping God on the Sabbath. And we know how seriously they took Sabbath in the Old Testament times. Or look at Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father and mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. So it's a serious command. They're pronouncing curse on themselves if they don't obey this command to honor your father and mother. Or Colossians 3:20 says, Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And so we tend to focus on the first half of that command, but listen to the second half of that verse. For this pleases the Lord. Now, in a sense, that is our highest and maybe our only duty as God's people is to please the Lord. And he says, you want to please me? Then obey your parents in everything. It's an aspect of honoring. Obey your parents in everything. Or Proverbs 23:22 says, Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. So from this, we can see that it's both a heartfelt kind of honoring. It's not just an external only, right? Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. We can also see that it is a lifelong command. You don't graduate from honoring your father and your mother. The meaning of that, the application of that may change over time, but you're never going to graduate from honoring your father and your mother. And notice that it's a practical command also. 1 Timothy 5:4 says, speaking about widows, it says, teach them to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So it's honoring certainly has an attitude component to it. It has a reverence to it, but there's also a practical element to it. You've got to obey your parents. You got to take care of them when they get old. And the older you get, the more you appreciate that. Notice the it's good for parents to teach their children to honor the father and mother. Proverbs 17:21 says, to have a fool for a son brings grief. If you don't train up your child in the way he should go, if you don't teach that child to honor you, he's going to be a fool. It will bring you grief. It says, there is no joy for the father of a fool. And notice it's not even just a command that is contained within the family, as I've alluded to already. It's a commandment that affects the entire community. You see this in Deuteronomy 20:21. It says, take that rebellious son, that profligate, that drunkard, the one who won't obey, take him to the town gate and have him stoned. So it's important to you as a parent. You'll have no joy if you're the father or the mother of a fool. But it's important to the whole community, important enough to stone that child to death. Not that we'll carry that particular one out in that particular way these days, but it's an important command that carried with it the death penalty at that time. And then notice in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy." So that's a really bad list of sins, and disobedient to parents, dishonoring parents, is smack in the middle of it. So God views dishonoring and disobedience to parents as a very serious command. And then one of my favorite verses I quote to my children all the time, Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks the father and scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked out by ravens and eaten by vultures." So notice, again, it's a serious command, and it's a serious... So notice that person didn't really do anything. Their eye mocked the father and scorned the mother. We're not told they did anything further with it, and yet it's such a serious command, a serious dishonoring, that eye will be pecked out and eaten by... So, you know, you could try to take all that down, but what I was hoping is that you would take it all in, that you would see that the Bible is speaking about this in a serious way from many different points of view, from many different aspects of the commandment, all throughout the entire Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and that God is emphasizing this key command. And we're going to emphasize it, not only because the Bible does so, but because our world and our culture in this country especially hates this command. It hates authority in generally, and it hates that first authority of the father and the mother. So understand, the world is opposed to God's order of honoring the father and the mother. So this fifth commandment is a critical command. In my estimation, it is the most critical command for success in life and success in the kingdom of God. It speaks to all parts of life, especially family life, as we've already said. And it speaks to all aspects. It's a full-orbed command. The basics are that children are to honor their parents, and that blessings will come from honoring them and curses from dishonoring them, especially the ultimate blessing of eternal life or the ultimate curse of eternal death. Now, I'm not saying that by honoring or obeying your parents, you're going to earn your salvation. It doesn't work like that. But if you don't honor your father and your mother, you are not born again. So this fifth commandment is a critical command, and parents are critical. Why? They are God's first and primary delegated authorities. Parents are God's representatives in the home, just as the pastor is God's representative in the church. The parents, as parents, they have a number of duties, and we'll get into this in greater detail probably next week. But as parents, you should have children. Children are a gift and a reward from God. You should provide for those children and protect them, or you are worse than an unbeliever, 1 Timothy 5:8. You should train them in the scriptures and in how to live. And you should teach them about God by your behavior. Somebody wrote a letter to Pastor recently quoting his book where he said, "Our job as parents is to make invisible God visible to our children." That's a high duty and an important duty. And children have a number of duties also. Their primary duty in this command is obviously to honor the father and the mother. And we'll cover that probably several weeks from now, but that includes listening to them, learning from them, obeying them, respecting or revering them, serving and helping them, and caring for them. So this fifth commandment is critical also because the family is the basic building block of society. It's the cornerstone on which all the other societal blocks rest. The family is to provide education, care, and training for children, especially in morality. And Deuteronomy 6:7 and 11:9 talk about this. They say, "Teach these things to your children as you walk along the road and as you sit at home," and so forth. It's talking about as you go through daily life. It doesn't say teach these things to your children by dropping them off at the public school or even by dropping them off at Grace Valley Christian Academy. No, it's our job as parents to teach these things to our children as we go about our regular life. And we are a miniature society. A family is a miniature society where children can learn to work, to care for others, to tolerate others, especially siblings, younger siblings perhaps, teaching that lesson to older siblings the most. But it's a miniature society where we learn how to deal appropriately with other people and how to contribute. Now, our society has rejected this traditional biblical view with great consequence. The parents, and especially the father, are deemed irrelevant or perhaps even negative by our society. We were told some 25 years ago that it takes a village to raise a child. There are certainly probably aspects of truth in that, but that's not what they meant by it. That what they meant is it takes the village to raise a child instead of the parents. But that kind of model means it takes a village to ruin a child and to ruin a society. So listen to this. Just listen to this. In 1940, 4% of children were born out of wedlock, were born with the father and the mother not married. By 1970, that number had crept up to 10%, and now that number is 40% in the United States. 40% of children are born out of wedlock. And in some communities, that number is as high as 77%. And then you layer divorce on top of that and broken homes, and you see the vast majority of people are growing up without a father or a mother to honor in the home, without one or the other, sometimes without both. And there are, of course, major consequences for this. Children who are not raised in a two-parent home, they are more likely to be poor. They're more likely to be homeless. They're twice as likely to go to jail. They're more likely to be lower educated, twice as likely to drop out of high school, more likely to be unemployed, divorced, and twice as likely themselves to have children out of wedlock, repeat cycle. So if you listen to this statistic, if you graduate from high school, get married, and get a job before having children, you have a 98% chance of not being in poverty. Think about that. Those are simple steps. Graduate from high school, get a job, have children after that, 98% chance your family will not end up in poverty. So all of this is just to point out the obvious that God has it right. And common sense and scripture tell us that the family is critical and that both the father and the mother are important. So the family is a critical building block in society, but the family is also a critical building block in the kingdom of God. And today, the state has taken over a lot of the work that should be done by the family. As I said, education, for example, not that we're against public education, not for my kids, but for other people. Deuteronomy 6:7 says it's our job to teach our children. It's not the state's job to teach our children. It's our job to teach our children. It's our job as parents to train them up in the way that they should go. It's not the policeman's job to train my child in the way she should go. It's not the public school's job. It's not the government's job. It's my job. It's my job to teach my children the way they should go. It is our job as parents to teach our children about creation, fall, and redemption. It is our job to tell them that they are sinners and that they, like all people, deserve hell, but that God offers salvation by faith in Christ alone. It's our job to tell our children about the Holy Spirit, our helper. It's our job to pray for our children, to teach them to pray and to pray with them. It's our job to show them how to rejoice always and to pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. And it's our job to tell them that though the pleasure of sin may last for a small season, in the end it leads to death. And I want to emphasize that especially because you may think that's the church's job. And to some degree, we do that, but it is primarily the job of parents to do that. Your children might be in church 3 or 4 hours a week. They might be in the school 25, 30, 35 hours a week, but they're with you a lot more than that. And it is your job and it's my job as a parent primarily to educate my children both in civil things, in normal things, but also in the things of God. And the fifth commandment is also critical because it deals with authority. Earlier I said parents, both the mother and the father, are the first authority children meet and interact with. And children, if you don't honor your parents, I can tell you it will not go well with you. It will not. God says it will not go well with you. You will not have long life. And that's speaking about, especially about eternal life. That's the long life that matters. If we live 100 years, 110 years on earth, it's inconsequential. It's where you go for the infinity years after that that matters. But if you do not honor your father and mother, you will not see that long life. And also, if you don't learn authority, if you don't learn to obey authority in the home, you will despise it everywhere else. And the truth is, parents, children are actually learning about authority either way in the home. They're either going to learn to despise authority or they're going to learn to obey and love authority. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. They're going to learn about it one way or the other in your house. If you despise authority in the home, you will despise God. Why should you fear God, who you can't see, if you don't fear your father and your mother, who you see every day? You will despise God, you will despise the state, the police, the teachers, the boss, and you'll be a failure at work. You will despise the prison guard. Mr. Slaughter used to say that the prison was full of guys who would say, nobody can tell me what to do, and yet they couldn't use the restroom without Mr. Slaughter's permission by that point. See, they wouldn't listen to anybody else in the world, so now they couldn't even do anything as basic as going to the bathroom without Mr. Slaughter's permission. And all authorities, especially father and mother, but all authorities deserve the honor that God assigns to them. So 1 Peter 2:7 says, honor the king. Ephesians 6:5-8 speaks about honoring the boss. And Romans 13 tells us that all authority comes from God. So any authority, whether in the home, in the church, or anywhere else, that authority come within its sphere comes from God. And so our job, if we are subject to that authority, is to give that authority the honor that is due to them. So whether that is God, who deserves all honor and ultimate honor, the pastor, the parents, the boss, even the stewardess on the airplane, very small sphere of authority, but that, I guess we call them flight attendants now, that person has authority over you when you're on the airplane, and you owe that person the honor within his or her sphere. If you want to get all into that, you can go read the Westminster Larger Catechism, 124 to 130. It talks about duties of superiors and inferiors and equals and so on. We're not going to do that now. But the point is, everyone is over somebody. Everyone is under somebody. Everyone is equal to somebody in different parts of your life. And you owe various honors to those people within their sphere. So as parents, if we fail to instill this in our children, it is almost impossible to fix. It takes a miraculous work of God to fix that problem later in life. And authority is the critical question of our time. Who are you to tell me what to do is the question on everybody's mind. And for a long time, I don't know if this is still the thing, for a long time people had these question authority bumper stickers. That was the thing to have. It was like advertising that you're an idiot. But who are you to tell me what to do? He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy God. That's who he is to tell you what to do. He created all and he sustains all moment by moment. You exist because God has decided that you get to continue to exist. So he will not be questioned by you or by a bumper sticker. He says that all authority on heaven and on earth belong to him. He says all authorities are appointed by him. He says he appointed your father and your mother over you and that you must obey them. He appointed your particular father and your particular mother over you in particular. So my point is, there's no random assignments. God put you under your father for a purpose. He didn't put me under your father. He put you under your father for his purpose. He put you under your mother so that she could tell you what you need to hear. And if you reject his command, and if you reject his authority in this basic area, you will not accept it in any other, and you will be a failure in life. And the fifth commandment is critical because it is critical to the outcomes, to the successes or failures that we have in life. It says, if you obey it, if you honor your father and mother, it will go well with you. You will have prosperity and blessing. In fact, you will have God with you. And speaks about long life, eternal life, as we already said. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." In other words, honor me. "For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." That prosperity, we're not preaching health and wealth gospel here, but that prosperity is God will be pleased with you. God's smiling countenance will be on you. And you will be blessed in this life as well. Be blessed in your career. You'll be blessed as a husband or wife. You'll be blessed in your household. You'll be blessed in every way if you learn to honor God and honor authorities. And notice that this is a promise from God. It doesn't say that it might go well with you. He says that it will go well with you. Again, we don't want to overread that into health and wealth. But if God is for us, if God says it's going to go well with us, who can be against us? It's going to go well with us. But if you dishonor your father and mother, the converse is true. It will not go well with you. It will not. It cannot go well with you. You will fail and you will suffer because you did not heed God's good command and because God himself will be against you. So not only will you not succeed because you're not doing the right thing and you're going to fail, but God will be against you like wind in your face. God is going to oppose you at every turn if you do not honor authority. You cannot reject God's commands and succeed in life. He will not be mocked. And we know this on a practical level. Anybody who has any limited authority, maybe you're a boss, maybe you have children, maybe you're a teacher, you don't want that insolent and rebellious person. There's no blessing for that person under you. You don't want to deal with them, and you see that they are not blessed. And that's true in every authority relationship. So I want to speak lastly for tonight about what it means to honor. So this is the command is to honor. So I want to talk about what that means. And it means different things in different situations. The irreducible minimum of honoring is to obey that authority in its legitimate sphere. So that's the minimum. Obedience to that authority within that authority's area is the minimum honoring. If you do not obey the teacher's command to sit down in the class or to close your mouth, you are not honoring that teacher. There's no honor there. And as I said, legitimate sphere. So let's talk about a couple limitations. First, nobody can tell you to sin. You can always, in fact, must always refuse. That's Acts 5:29. Beyond that, there are particular limitations. Your boss has a particular sphere. He could tell you what to do at work. He can't tell you what to do at home. And the same limited sphere to the teacher, to the police officer, and so on and so forth. And even parents have a particular sphere. Our sphere as parents is not universal. It's not co-equal with God's sphere. Early on, of course, it is maximized, and that's for the child's good. We have to feed that child. We have to clothe that child. We have to change their diapers. We have to tell them what time to go to bed and what time to get up. So there is maximum sphere. My daughter the other day, I was looking at some paper of hers, and she told me, it's personal. And she's 9 years old. So I said, this is not personal from me. My sphere is big at this point in time. But it changes as you reach adulthood. You must still honor your parents, but there's a new sphere. All right. If you're living in a Christian household, you don't honor your father and mommy by going home for dinner every night, right? You go eat dinner with your roommates. You don't owe the same kind of honoring. At my house, my children have to be there for dinner every night. But when you grow up, that changes. It changes again in marriage. You're no longer under the authority of your parents. The husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the household. But you can still honor your parents. And you will still benefit by doing that, but the sphere changes. And it changes again in old age. You may well become the caretaker for your parents. We saw that with Mr. and Mrs. Perry, especially cared for Jack Perry in the latter years of his life. That was a way to honor that man. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." First Timothy 5, we already referenced, talks about repaying your parents by helping take care of them in old age. And Leviticus 19:32 says, rise in the presence of the aged. In other words, respect and revere your parents even when they are old. So obedience is the minimum. That's the minimum honoring requirement. But there's more to it than that. There should be an attitude of reverence. Leviticus 19:32. There should be an honoring in the way you speak to your parents, to your mother and father, and in the way you speak about your mother and father. You should speak to them with respect and speak about them with respect. And of course, that's also true for all other authorities, your boss, your teacher, your pastor, and so on and so forth. If you give lip service to your parents and honor them to their face, but you mock them or trash them behind your back, or behind their back, that is not honoring them. Your eye will be pecked out by those ravens that I talked about earlier. You should also defend their honor. So you should speak to and about your father and mother with respect, but don't let anyone else speak about your father or your mother or any other authority with disrespect. Defend their honor. Defend the honor of your teacher, your pastor, your boss. Another way, this is a more subtle way of honoring, but don't inflict a toll on your parents for obedience. See, fighting someone who is trying to tell you what you should do for your good is not honoring them. And I take it from me, it is hard to govern. And children, don't make it harder for your parents to govern you, to help you. Don't make it harder for them to do it by fighting them when they're trying to do it. Wearing mom and dad down so that they stop telling you what to do over the long term, or so they won't tell you what to do just because they don't want to fight you about some other thing later, is not honoring them. I would say, by the way, tactical advice here, I negotiate in reverse. So I tell my children, okay, 15 more minutes, you can go to bed. And they say, oh, 30 minutes. And I say, okay, 10. And they say, oh, 15, 5. It's a good tactic. Negotiate in reverse. So if someone says, pick your battles, I say, I pick them all, at least at this stage. Now, don't overread that. But you've got to be willing to fight your children for their own good. But children, don't fight your parents when they're trying to help you. So you should have willing and cheerful obedience, even in disappointment. That is honoring authority. Fifth, anticipatory obedience. So what I mean is, don't wait for mom and dad to tell you what to do all the time. Okay, in most circumstances, at least in my household, at least at our age of life, in most circumstances, the children know what you want them to do. You don't need any permission to clean your room. You don't need any permission to be kind to your sister. You don't need any permission to clean up somebody else's mess that you didn't make. It's a mind-blowing concept, very difficult for people to understand, but you can clean up after someone else without being told. Do the thing that your mom or dad or boss or pastor wants you to do, even without being asked. Don't run ahead. Don't go crazy. Don't do things that you're not sure about. But for most basic things, you know that they want you to do it. Do it before they ask you to do it. That's honoring authority. Sixth, be considerate of authorities. So little kids always think that being in charge is great, and maybe it looks great. I don't remember anymore. I can tell you it's hard. It's hard to be in charge. You have to figure out what to do. You have to organize it. You have to execute the plan. You have to get others to do the thing that you're telling them to do. And notice also, your parents are busy people, or your authorities are busy people, right? Parents have jobs. They have church responsibilities. They have to do things around the house, and they have to tell you what to do. So be considerate of them. They are busy people. And you should think, how can I help my mom or my dad to do what it is that they need to do? That is honoring authority. And seventh, trust your authorities. This could be hard to do, but Romans 13:7 tells us that all authority comes from God. And again, God puts you under particular parents for your good. So trust God by trusting them. Again, not blind trust, not foolishness, not thoughtless trust, not trusting them even when they told me to do something the Bible says not to do. That's not what we're talking about. But trust your parents in those things that are not sin. And then lastly, tell your authorities, especially your parents, tell them that you appreciate them. That is a way to honor parents. As I said, it is a hard job, and it is usually thankless. Depending on the circumstance, it's like you get negative appreciation. You try to tell somebody what to do, and they throw rocks at you. You can ask my children at the end of this. I tell them sometimes, I tell them to do something, they fight me about it, and I say, I'm not telling you this for my good. I'm telling you this for your good, and yet you're upset with me because I'm trying to help you out. So understand it is a thankless job, or my children are very fine people, by the way. They're being, sitting in the back there being used as an example here, but they're good kids in general, but I'm giving you what I know. But it is a thankless job, or it is negative. People throw rocks at you for trying to help them out. So thank your mother and your father in English words out loud. Go to mom and dad and say, thank you, mom and dad, for teaching me how to live. Thank you, mom and dad, for going to work every day. Thank you, mom and dad, for running the household. And you can appreciate your boss and other people in the same way. You can thank them in private, and you can thank them in public. And you can appreciate your parents, your pastors, your boss, and your teacher. So that's all we're going to cover for tonight. That dealt with honoring. Up next, we'll deal with parents and superiors and children and inferiors. But take this lesson to heart, kids. I'm especially talking to you kids. Honor mom and dad in the ways that I talked about tonight. You'll see that mom and dad will be happy. It will go well with you, and God will bless you and bless your life if you do it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for your word, which tells us how to live and tells us how to be blessed. And we pray that all of us would hear it, understand it, and put it into practice. Let us be people who honor our parents tonight, who honor our authorities at work tomorrow and at church and in all areas of life. Bless your people as we go out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.